to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 128. The Word of the Lord says this, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Well, we want to talk today. Debbie is in the studio with me. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
We want to talk today about family problems. The Bible wants and the Lord wants us to have a wonderful family. You know, we have that expression, home sweet home. Well, ask yourself, is my home and the dynamics of my home with my spouse and my children, would it be characterized by home sweet home, or is it more like World War III? Sadly, for many who know the Lord and love the Lord, family life is very, very difficult. And so we ran across an article that was written just a couple of years ago by Dr. Martina Paglia, and this is an international article, the International Psychology Clinic, and she wrote this article, "The 10 Most Common Family Problems and How to Deal with Them." And so, Debbie, I know in your counseling with women over the years, family problems, marriage and family problems, that's kind of the bulk of what people struggle with.
Absolutely. And I think the interesting thing in the whole title is that it is indeed common.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, social media, we look at it and we can get this idea that our family may be totally messed up, but all these other families are just so perfect. They don't have any problems, you know, because you have these snapshots of people at their best. And so it's encouraging to know that problems within the family are common. Mm-hmm. They are going to happen. They're going to happen all throughout the life of your family. They're not one and done kind mm-hmm. of thing. And that it's okay. They're an opportunity for God to work in your heart and the life of your spouse and to bind your family together as you process through different problems and things that may come up. And because there is no such thing as a perfect family. That family does not exist.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. And so one of the first things that they mention, a common family problem, number one on the list for their list was arguments all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, if I have found that men in general, we don't really like to argue. Women seem more prone, and not all women, but they have a tendency to like to argue, and women tend to be better talkers than men, and so men don't do well in the argument back and forth. We just don't like that. And so if the family is arguments all the time, I remember hearing Brad Pitt say one of the things that just caused the destruction of their marriage and family. He said, I'd come home, my family was a zoo. I think they had six adopted kids or something like that.
Okay, this is Brad and Angelina? Uh-huh. Not Brad's growing up family, but his personal.
His family with her.
Okay.
He said, it was coming home to a zoo.
Mm.
And, you know, guys, I heard James Dobson say this one time. I think it's so true. What does a man want more than anything when he comes home from work? It's not sex. It's not dinner. It's peace. He wants things to be calm and tranquil. If he comes home and everything is just a 10 as far as drama and yelling, and he's just like, why did I leave the office?
I should have stayed at work. Well, yeah. You know, it's interesting, too, because home should be a place of safety. It mm-hmm. should be a place of peace, of safety, of comfort, of joy, of just rest. And when it's chaotic, those things aren't there. And so We have to do everything we can to protect that. The world that we live in, it's chaotic, it's negative, it's argumentative, it's a stressful environment. And so we have to have a place where we can pull back and we can refresh and we can renew. And that should be our homes. Our homes should be where we're able to do those things. And so having peace in your home is extremely important. And having peace in your home doesn't mean that you never have arguments in your home, because there are certain things that have to be talked about and need to have resolution. But so often in families, we get in this cycle of arguments where there isn't resolution. And so You talk till you're blue in the face, nothing changes, and then you just kind of start pulling away from each other and isolating, and this wall of coldness kind of develops. And that's when you know that the enemy's really gotten a foothold in there.
Well, with arguments, they have another problem in here, and that's communication. But most families don't argue well. They don't communicate difficult things well, because people get angry. And anger shuts down communication, and so you can argue about things without being argumentative, and you can disagree with your spouse or with your kids, or your kids can disagree with you without being disagreeable, and a lot of that has to do with the attitude of the heart. But I think with couples, if they start to bicker constantly, that's like, man, we're down a bad road. We gotta get some help. And couples, they don't want to. So often, the husbands, especially, I don't want to go talk to a counselor. I don't want to get help.
Well, and I think too, there's a certain level of skill in terms of how to argue with each other and how to talk to each other. There was a book written by some friends of ours in Family Life, and I was trying to look that up because it was Darcy and I think Darcy and
Tim Kimmel.
Tim Kimmel wrote the book, but the book was titled How to Fight Fair.
No, that was...
Who was it that wrote that?
That was...
Because it's a great book, How to Fight Fair in Marriage. Let me see if I can find it. Anyway, here it is. Tim and Joy Downs. Mm-hmm. That's who wrote it. Tim and Joy Downs. Anyway, but it just talks about how if you truly want your argument to be productive and to bring about a godly outcome, you have to know how to do that fairly. You need to know how to speak, how to listen, what's out of bounds, what's off limits, what's a foul, just different techniques that you can use, not just in your marriage, but in your entire family dynamic, to be able to have a discussion and communicate through issues. I think that's the main thing. An argument is productive if you communicate through it and you have resolution. If it's just an argue to argue, it causes just destruction upon destruction.
Well, in terms of that, if you don't desire to understand the other person's point of view, if you're just trying to win an argument, and you know, it's my way, I'm not even going to listen to what you have to say, that's not productive at all. So good communication and arguing about things is like, okay, help me to understand where you're coming from.
Help me help you.
Right. And then I'll help you understand where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, and this is for Christians, I mean, if I'm wanting to please the Lord and you're wanting to please the Lord, we can sure come to some agreement. Now, in Scripture, you had Paul and Barnabas, and they got into an argument over John Mark. Paul said, I don't want to take that guy. He you know, bailed on us when the going got tough in the first missionary journey. And Barnabas, the encourager, he said, no, we need to take him. And the Scripture says there arose such a sharp disagreement between the two of them that they had to part ways. Mm-hmm. And that's painful in ministry when you're like, I can't work with you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to get into that sermon about who was right and who was wrong. But, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully in our family, you know, you can't bail on the family if you're going to please the Lord. That's not an option. So you got to work things out.
Well, I think it's important too to prioritize things, because there are rib issues and spine issues that you can argue about. And the spine issues are those issues that are just non-negotiable. Like we have to be in unity on this particular element, what we feel about this, the direction we're going on this particular topic. There are those spine issues that are that have to be correct, that you have to have agreement on within the structure of your family. But then there are other things that are just more opinion-related things. They're rib issues. They're secondary. And so everything in your family doesn't have to be a confrontation. Every single thing doesn't have to be addressed. But there are times when even though it's not comfortable and it's not fun, there are times when as a family, you just have to say, okay, we got to talk this thing out, whatever it is. And then there are other times you're like, okay, this is a rib issue. We're gonna just kind of let this blow over and let everything just kind of settle down.
Well, and I think that's important for couples as you're dating before you get married is to talk through a lot of those things because you may run into some, hey, that's a deal breaker for me. For instance, yeah, I don't want to have kids. If one party says that and the other one's like, well, I want to have four kids.
Right.
Then you have to decide, okay, is that a deal breaker for me? You don't want to get married and then find out, oh, you don't want to have, I just assumed. Don't assume anything. Talk through those things. And there are a number of good books. I know Amy and Travis went through like 100 questions before you get married or whatever. And so we would encourage you with that. So those spine issues, you and your spouse are solid on those. And hey, we're in agreement.
And if you're not solid on those, there's something about children. They have radar when it comes to that kind of thing. And they will pit you against one another. And that is just through the annals of time that has happened where kids are just known to do that. And so it is so incredibly important to make sure as parents in particular that you're on the same page.
Well, that's the second most common family problem is parenting decisions. Family fights are all about how the kids should be raised. It starts with the decision of whether to have or not have kids. Moving on further, you might be fighting over the disciplinary training, schooling, religion, lots of other things about the kid. That's what this article says. It is okay to have a disagreement as you are two separate individuals, but such family issues shouldn't destroy your relationship. Well, I think that that goes back to you got to be solid on this is how we do it. You know, we are going to have children. This is how we're going to discipline the children. And, you know, one spouse can call out another spouse if they discipline in anger, if they just are losing it with the kids. And let's face it, kids can push your buttons.
Oh, yes.
Little kids are exasperating. Older kids can be just rebellious and really, you know, cause you a lot of grief and a lot of anguish. And so that's why, you know, my heart goes out to single parents. It's really hard to do that by yourself.
It'd be so hard to do that.
You know, and as you do it as a team, when one person is way down, the other person can step up and say, okay, let me take this shift or let me handle this. You're angry right now. You need to, let's separate you from the child and let me handle this and mediate this. And so we work together that way.
Well, I think too, in terms of parenting decisions, especially as your children get older, it's important that you have created an environment within your home where your children feel the freedom to talk to you about things. If they don't agree with you on a decision or if they feel very passionately about something and you don't necessarily agree with it, to be able to come together and talk through that. Now, mom and dad still have the final say. You're under my roof. I'm paying for your life. What I say goes, but to be open to hear from them and to realize that, hey, as a parent, I'm not going to do everything right. And sometimes my kids are call you out and you're like, you know, they were right when they called me out on that.
Well, they have a radar about fair. That's not
very
fair.
Much so.
So, yeah, we need to listen to our kids. It doesn't mean we're going to do what they say, but we're going to give them a hearing. And we teach them that, listen, you can appeal to authority. You just need to do it in a respectful way. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about the article, The 10 Most Common Family Problems and How to Deal with Them. We're just using this as a springboard. They don't give a lot of how to deal with them in this article, but they do talk about the problems, common family problems. And Christian or non-Christian, we deal with these. So you are listening to Real Truth for today. We're going to discuss these things, so don't go away. We'll be right back. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here along with Debbie. We're talking about family problems, the 10 most common family problems, and how to deal with them. Now, Debbie and I just celebrated 38 years of marriage, and in those 38 years, we have three girls. We have twins that you miscarried, Debbie, in between Sarah and Amy and Sarah, our second and third child. And so they're in heaven. And over these 38 years, and the three girls, and four grandkids, and bringing in husbands, and we've dealt with family dynamics and issues, and we're just like anybody else. We've had our share of problems and struggles and challenges, and so these 10 common family problems, they are common. They're common to everybody. And the first one we talked about was the problem of arguments all the time. And then we mentioned about parenting decisions, and parents need to be on the same page so your kids don't pit mom against dad and dad against mom. The third one is balancing home and work life. That is quite the challenge for couples today, especially when both mom and dad work.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And, you know, we always had that as such a priority in our home, where we made sure that family time took a priority over pretty much everything else, with the exception of church your 8-to-5 job, as it were. So we made sure that most nights, I would say safely at least 4 nights a week, if not more than that, we always sat down together as a family and had dinner together.
That made a big difference.
It made a big difference, because that's where you develop camaraderie. That's where you get insight into what's going on in the lives of your kids. That's where you joke. That's where you enjoy each other's company and just really just kind of let your hair down. And then we also had family nights, particularly when the girls were young. We would have family nights pretty much every Friday.
Friday night was pizza night, and then
or
we would
hamburger night every now and then.
Yeah, and we would go get it, rent a video, and the kids still laugh about some of the bad videos we...
I know, blame it on mother, yeah. I picked some bad ones,
so
I realize that.
You had that one video.
Which one are you thinking? I know which one you're thinking about.
Buddy. It had some monkey in it. And
Rene Russo, I think. It was horrible. It was a really bad movie.
It was awful.
Yeah.
But then we had some good ones, and the kids would love those, and we just, you know, have a fun time together. And they really enjoyed that. That was special to them. I think the dinner time together is... that creates a sense of security for your kids that, mm-hmm. you know, our family is intact. Mm-hmm. We're not just flying all over the place. And I think that's something mom and dads need to really sit down and talk through, saying, you know, we can't sacrifice our family upon the altar of sports, mm-hmm. where we're just going here and there. I remember I had one good friend tell me, he said, you know, we had one kid in this playing this sport, another kid playing that sport, and we were just coming and going. We were constantly gone. We were out of church because we were always out of town. And he said it was taking its toll. And so you have to back up and say, wait a minute, what is most important here? And Debbie, you told the girls early on, you can only do so many extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Number one, we were on a pretty tight budget, so we just didn't have the finances to provide them opportunity to do 3 and 4 different extracurriculars each, you know? But personally, I did not have the bandwidth to make sure people got to all of those different places. So very early on, we kind of set it as a rule, like, okay, you each, other than church, you can do one thing, and we're going to all do that pretty much on the same day. So one day of the week might be hectic, but that didn't characterize every single day of the week. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was just because I personally did not have the bandwidth to be able to do that. You know, there are some women that are able to do that better. I was not one of those. Mm-hmm. That just caused me a lot of stress because I liked our home being calm and peaceful and organized. I mean, that was just important to me. And I think for some people, organization is a lot easier than others. I mean, if you have a spiritual gift of administration and organization, and that's just part of your DNA, it's easier to keep your home organized, mm-hmm. and to keep schedules on a schedule. And it's possible for everyone to do that, but it's just a lot easier, and it just comes as a natural outflowing of your temperament for some people to do that. For some people, it's much more of a challenge. And I think for the people that it is a challenge for, all the more reason to minimize all these extracurricular things.
Right.
All the more reason to do that, so that you can provide just a stable environment where you're not worn out and short-tempered with your kids, and they're not worn out and exhausted, and you can't get dinner on the table fast enough because they're starving because they've been all over the place all day long.
Right, you're constantly eating fast food, and it's just not good. So that's the fourth common problem, is getting the family organized. Disorganization in the family, everything is just chaotic. You know, kids do better when it's not chaos, mm-hmm. When it's structured, when it's, and you have to build in downtime in that schedule. You can't run your schedule into the red line all the time. It's just like running your engine. There's a reason why there's a red line on the tachometer. It's like you're racing the engine too much. You're going too hard. You need to back off. Otherwise, this thing is going to blow.
And let me interject here, and I want to brag on you for a minute, Jeff, which I know you won't mind. but you were so good about that in terms of scheduling into your schedule family time. Mm-hmm. Because when we were in seminary, and then particularly when we left North Carolina and moved back to Houston, and you were working full time at Champion Forest Baptist Church, as well as going to seminary full time at an extension, I don't know how you did all that you did, but you always had time for me and the girls. Like, we never ever felt shortchanged there, and mm-hmm. you were so good about scheduling that into your calendar, where it's like if someone else ministry wise asked you to do something, it was like, I'm sorry, I have something booked that day, or I have something booked at that time, and what was on the books was family time, because mm-hmm. it was that much of a priority. Right. And so there are ways that you can do that regardless of how, quote, busy, unquote, you might be. There are just ways to work around that.
Yeah, and it's more of a challenge, and you have to be very disciplined in your time to get things done. If you're a time waster, then that's going to chew up family time. That's going to chew up productive time. Yeah, you know, the Bible says, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You only have so much time. Your life is made up of time. And wasting time is really, when you think about it, it's committing suicide by degrees because you only have so much time. And so you have to use that time wisely. How about this one, Debbie? Being far away from your extended family. That can be very, very hard as a married couple. You get married and then all of a sudden we move across the country and you have to start over. You have no friends, you have no family there, and then you have kids. I know with our three daughters, they stay close to their families by and large, and when they have kids, they want mom to help them.
Yes.
And as you know, our middle daughter Amy lives in the Woodlands, Amy and Travis, with our two little grandsons, Jack, who's two and a half, and Chase, who just turned one, and she would love it if we lived next door.
right. And she has said before, and even our youngest has said this before, that there are just times that they get homesick, and that's a good thing. I mean, I'm glad that we grew up together as a family to where when we don't get to see each other, we miss each other. You know, that's a good thing. But it does present its own set of challenges. And I know in particular, and we were like this, sadly, our family did live near us, but we did not have a lot of help. Our family didn't provide a lot of help for us when our kids were growing up. And in this day and age, you know, if you are living somewhere far away from all of your family, it's really difficult to be able to go out on a date with your spouse because you have to pay for the date as well as pay for all the childcare, which is so expensive now. Childcare to have someone come and babysit your kids is so expensive. And so it does present itself with just a lot of different challenges, and particularly if you're not in a position, even if you're a distance away, that you can't even hop in your car. You know, any time you go see family, you're having to go through the whole process of flying and checking in.
Flying with little kids.
Oh my goodness. And the expense of it. You know, once your kids are over two, you're paying a full price ticket for them. And so that can all just be very challenging, and it can put a lot of stress on you for sure, emotionally in particular.
Right. Well, here's one. A member is suffering from mental illness. If you have a child that has bipolar or ADHD, that can be very, very difficult. And we have a good friend who had that in his family. And man, that child could cause such tremendous disruption. Mm-hmm. And they never knew what they were getting with her from one day to the next. And so it can be very, very difficult.
Or even if your children are, you know, if you have a child that's on the spectrum somewhere in terms of autism or any of those kind of things, they're just very unique challenges that come up with all of that, and different things that keep you. I just think about growing up. We had some friends growing up that they had three children, and the oldest and the youngest of their kids had extreme autism, and the one in the middle did not have that, but the two outside units did, the oldest and the youngest, and just how that so grossly affected their family. And you take for granted that when you don't have kids that are high on the spectrum in one of those areas, where you can just go out to a restaurant to eat, you can just go to church and take your kids to Sunday school, you just go about your life and you don't think anything about it. Well, families that have special needs kids can't just go do all those things. And so that can provide a lot of stress. Now, I think God gives just special grace in those situations, and I have seen it time and time again where those parents that have kids like that, they just have this incredible love and joy. I just see it over and over again, and because God gives us grace, definitely. But That's a hard thing to deal with. And I think, you know, we're becoming more and more aware as a culture of mental illness. And so we are seeing how to deal with that more effectively than we ever have in the past. But the thing about mental illness that makes it so difficult is that it's very erratic. You don't just look at someone necessarily and know that that's a problem mm-hmm. until you're around them for a while or whatever. And so, and so many of us just don't have the skill set to be able to effectively deal with someone with mental illness.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have that in our toolbox.
No, and you have to educate if you have a child like that, you have to educate, or maybe it's a brother or sister, you know, something.
Or extended family,
right.
even.
You have to educate yourself with that. How do I deal with this? Because if you approach that person like they're a rationally thinking person, they're not. It's mm-hmm. going to be irrational. Mm-hmm. And so you can't get into this, mm-hmm. you know, because then it escalates and, well, you're stupid or you're crazy or whatever.
Right.
So you can't do that.
Right.
Well, the last one on this list is divorce. Obviously, when there's divorce in the family and you have blended families, those are challenges all by themselves. And it just takes, you know, with all these things, it takes prayer. It takes Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, two key verses, for every family. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you just bring all those needs before the Lord. Lord, help me with this. Lord, I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your help, because this problem is too great for me. And when you're dealing with a blended family situation, very incumbent upon a husband and wife to really come up with a game plan, because if the husband wants to be the disciplinarian and he is not the biological father, that can cause lots of problems, lots of stresses. And so you got to come up with a game plan and then stick to it.
Well, and you know, divorce doesn't just affect the two people who have gotten divorced. There's a perimeter that goes out from that affects a lot of other people. And now, granted, you know, it doesn't affect anyone as deeply as it does the two people that have just experienced the divorce. So I'm not trying to minimize that in any way. But it, you know, I just think about, you know, people that their daughter, their son has gotten divorced and they have grandkids, and the wife has taken the kids away from their son and doesn't live in the same state anymore. And it's just very, very difficult. And if you've ever walked through a divorce with anyone, I don't care if it's 99% one person's fault and 1% the other, it is just a brutal situation for anyone to have to go through.
Yeah, it's awful. So our friend Dr. Chris Schroeder, who had experienced the horrors of divorce, he said, you know, when people say divorce is the easy option, he said mm-hmm. it's never easy. It's very, very difficult. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we'd love to talk to you. So give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with Debbie. We're talking about the common problems, common family problems. And I wanted to let you know, attention pastors and your wives, Debbie and I are going to be in Tupelo, Mississippi at the headquarters for American Family Association, American Family Radio, Tuesday night for a dinner for pastors and their wives. It's all complimentary, provided by American Family Association. And it's this Tuesday at 6, or this coming Tuesday at 6:30. We're looking forward to talking about marriage and ministry, because there are different challenges for pastors in marriage. And you can sign up by going to afa.net afa.net/events, afa.net/events. It is free, but they need you to register so they know how much food to provide. And we would love to see you there. And maybe you'd like to, you're listening and say, well, my pastor's not listening. Maybe you could talk to him about it and say, hey, you know, this would be a great thing for you and your wife to do at American Family Association. So, all right, Debbie, one of the things that we didn't get into was the chores.
Yes, that was a big one.
Dividing up
the
chores.
Division of labor. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, in our current culture where most homes these days seem to be where mom and dad are both having to work kind of to make ends meet, I think more than ever that's an important issue that comes up, and that can be a real issue of fairness. Like, it's not fair that I have to do X, Y, and Z, and you're only doing A, or mm-hmm. whatever. And teaching your kids to do chores. And I know that when our kids were growing up, I would get so frustrated because they would, quote, clean their room, clean their bathroom, whatever. And I would go in there and it looked no different than before they started.
They hide their dirty
yeah.
clothes under the
and
bed.
And so I can
like
remember
that.
I got to where to the point where I would tell them, okay, you guys have to clean today and it has to be my standard of clean. That's what I'm going to come and inspect it, and it's got to be my standard of clean. But it's important to teach them how to do that so that when they get out on their own, you know, they know how to do that and to divide up those chores. And, you know, when I was a stay-at-home mom, I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. And so our chores, we kind of saw them as, okay, this the whole running of the home kind of was my responsibility. And so you weren't necessarily doing laundry and doing all these other things. But in today's culture, so much of that has changed, and it does require a lot more teamwork on the part of the husband and the wife to be able to get things done so that one of them is not just running ragged and exhausted over coming home from working 8 or 9, 10 hours a day and then having all this other stuff to do. And I think that's real important. And another thing that kind of made me, I thought about this, and this wasn't listed on here, but I do think this is a common problem in our culture, is money issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think those can cause a lot of stress in a family.
For sure.
If one person's a spender and one's a saver, or you have overspent or overbought on your house, overbought on a car, where it's like, you know, this was great at the time, but now we're just strapped because we're just having to make this big mortgage every month, and or we have massive credit card debt or whatever it may be. That can cause a lot of problems in a family.
Well, another thing that's they didn't list in this is, you know, if there's an addiction problem, a gambling addiction, an alcohol addiction, a drug addiction, that can just that just derails everything,
right?
And cause such tremendous distress for a family and for the spouse that's not addicted. And that's like, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. And do I stay? Do I go? Lord, what do you want me to do? That's where you go back to Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You bring that need before the Lord and you cast your burden on Him and you pray for wisdom and pray for God to give you strength. And then you have to be, you know, a lot of times it's tough love in those situations.
Right.
And that's hard for people to exercise, but it's necessary.
Well, and the person that needs tough love doesn't receive tough love very well. Yeah, he's not wanting tough love. She's not wanting tough love. So it makes it even more difficult. And, you know, we had talked about in the very first segment about communication and how that's so important. And I think when it comes to the addiction issues, that can be a big problem because, number one, you don't want to accuse your spouse of something that they're not doing, right? And so, and then you think, okay, well, maybe this will just go away. Maybe if we just don't talk about this, this will go away. And there's so much denial that comes with addiction on both parties. Mm-hmm. Both parties can be in denial. And it's one of those things that addiction and those issues, they are indeed spine issues. They are not going to just go away. They have to be addressed and they have to be kind of tackled head on. And that can be extremely difficult because there's so much uncertainty that's involved in that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that can definitely, most assuredly, lead to all kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. When that's at the core.
Well, that's why it is so important for a Christian. How do you live the Christian life? The Bible, 1 John 1, I go back to that over and over and over again. This is the message that we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to deal with sin. You have to walk in the light. When you start to hide, when you start to have things in the shadows, and you're not dealing with sin, and you're pushing it all on the back burner, and you're hiding things on your social media, on your cell phone, don't let your spouse see this or that, it's going to lead to disaster. You got to say, okay, I got to back up. I got to talk to somebody about this. I got to get things out into the open, out mm-hmm. into the light.
Well, because it goes back to that comment we've made multiple times. It's you're only as sick as your secrets.
Yeah, secrets are just death. And so you have to bring that into the light before the Lord. And you have to deal with things. And, you know, the prayer of Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful, evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is a great prayer to pray on a daily basis. Well, if you have a question, comment, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we did have one call that came in, and Debbie, here's the question. Talk about families that stay together just for the kids.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yes.
It is rough. You know, and I'm sure that there are arguments on both sides for that. Bottom line is, the Lord wants you to stay together and make your marriage good.
Right.
He doesn't want you to just stick together and it just be miserable for everybody, right? And so the ultimate goal is to get each party, husband and wife, surrender to the Lord and in fellowship with him, so that God can truly do a restorative work in the family and in the home. Mm-hmm. But we've seen that time and time again where people have, quote, stayed together for the kids. And it's not like as their kids get older, their kids don't know, right? Their kids know that the marriage is bad.
Right. The best thing that you can give to your kids is a good marriage.
Right.
That is the best thing that you can give them, so that they get security from that. When they know, see, here's the thing. Your kids just naturally are going to love mom and dad. And so they want mom to love dad because they love dad. They want dad to love mom because they love mom. Mm-hmm. And when mom and dad don't seem to love each other, when they're constantly picking at each other and there's just tension in the air, your kids hate that. And they don't want to come home. I think about that one kid, Debbie lived across the street from us when we were in Houston.
Yes.
He would stay outside all the time because
all the time.
Inside there was so much tension. There was so much fighting. He said, he didn't say this, but you could just tell. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he doesn't want to go inside his house.
Right.
It's because he just can't stand the turmoil. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, staying together for the kids. Well, I appreciate the fact that that person wants to stay together, but you got to bring that to the Lord and say, well, Lord, we didn't get married to have a terrible marriage. We didn't get married to have a terrible family. Mm-hmm. And so, God, we need you to do a miracle here. We need you to bring forgiveness, bring repentance, bring whatever needs to be done so that we can get back to growing and glowing again.
Right. And it does take two parties for reconciliation to take place. I mean, both parties have to be willing to do that. And, there are different circumstances that I've counseled people through where one of the parties is just really willing to work on it, and they don't want to throw in the towel. They want the Lord to do a work and to bring healing. And the other party is like, we don't even have a problem. I'm not going to go get any counseling. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go do this. And so they just refuse to make any changes, to grow in any kind of way that can bring some healing to the situation. And so that is just a very painful and difficult, isolating, and very lonely and hurtful situation to be in.
Well, I remember when Kirk Cameron was at our church, he said these words, and I've never forgotten them. He had us kind of put our hands together, link our fingers together, and make a circle. And he said, okay, the only person you can change is the person in this circle. The only person you can change is you. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your kids. You can only change you as you bring yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, change me. I want to have a soft and tender heart. And so as you do that, regardless of what other people in your family do, you can have joy, you can have peace, you can have wisdom from the Lord, because he promises all those things to us. And he says, hey, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. Isaiah 43, you know, as David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. And so we trust the Lord that he is going to be with us and he's going to give us strength. Well, we have James on the line from Texas. James, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
I have a problem with your grandkids. I'm 67 years old and trying to raise two grandkids, and me and my wife, and having a lot of discipline problems with them. They physically get violent with me and have hit me a couple of times in the face. Mm. And she turns against me. And, you know, like she's raising for the grandkids, and it's no respect in the house now. It's like you want to run, but you know you want to be a grandparent and do the right thing, and I don't know which way to turn.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. That's a difficult situation, James. I think that's one of those things where it's like, okay, you try and get your spouse on the same page. This is what we need to do. Let's come up with a game plan. If she's not willing to do that, then it's just like, Lord, give me wisdom to know how to handle this. Obviously, if your grandkids are hitting you in the face, that's unacceptable behavior. You can't do that. They have to have discipline. And, you know, if they're the first commandment with a promise is obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so that it would go well with you and you'd live long on the earth. It doesn't go well with your kids, with your grandkids, if they're allowed to live an undisciplined life. And so as you look down the road, you're like, okay, if I don't discipline them now, they're on the path of prison, mm-hmm. and you know, or getting into a gang, or you know, dying, a young death because of rebellion. So I have to step up as best I can in my situation and ask the Lord, show me how to do this, because I don't know how to do it.
Well, and I think it would just be so difficult, because I just think at our age, we're in our early 60s, and to think that we would be starting over with the burden of responsibility of raising kids again, particularly in this current culture, it would be overwhelming to me to have that job and that responsibility. And then there's the other element of the grandkids not being with their parents. There's just a certain amount of anger that a kid has with that, where they don't have mom and dad there, and why don't I have mom and dad here? And there's just different emotions that well up in them that are going to come out one way or the other.
Yeah, and they're not going to be able to verbalize that.
Right.
They're just angry.
And so that is an extremely difficult circumstance that would just take the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to help you navigate through.
Yeah. Well, James, thank you for that. And we'll be praying for you. Greg in Kentucky, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. I would encourage your friend that where one wants to go to counseling and the other doesn't, just to do your job. So as a husband, love your wife. If it's a wife, see to it that she respects her husband. 1 Peter 1 for chapter 3 for a wife. and Ephesians 5 for a husband. As we do our jobs, God works on the other person. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my beautiful wife, Debbie, of 38 years. We're working on the next 38. Mm-hmm. And so go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Let God use you as His witness so that you can make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.